Okay, welcome class number 97 in our ongoing series, the Siddur and the Machzor. So last week we'll switch to Yom Kippur, but it's the same, which is actually quite interesting. Well, and then we'll do some things that are hopefully are specific to Yom Kippur, but I do want to finish off some of the points we were dumbing in the beginning of the Shmon Esrei, v'chein tzadikim, v'chein tein pachtecha, etc. Now, first thing I'll point out, we say that on Yom Kippur too. Now, we pointed out the first week, I think, of our series here on the Machzor, that u'b'chein tein pachtecha, all the scholars, and Rav Soloveitchik writes about this, I believe, say that u'b'chein tein pachtecha is the Malchiyot of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. There were two versions of Malchiyot. Rabbi Akiva had a very calm version of Aleinu l'shabeach, we worship God, and then the entire world in the second paragraph would come to worship God. That's so important. It's so beautiful. It got put into our daily Siddur. And Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, his version of Malchiyot, which we know was part of the Bracha of HaMelech HaKadosh, that's already in the Mishnah. So this U'b'chein tein pachtecha was sort of the leftovers of part of his Malchiyot, that and his God is the king. Oh my God, got fear, pachad, ema, yira, all these things about God. So it's fascinating. So new, that only belongs on Rosh Hashanah. We don't say Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot on Yom Kippur, except for Yovel, right? The Yom Kippur of Yovel, which is, by the way, how we know we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, right? I think I mentioned, right? The Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Where does that come from? So it comes from the fact that, that comes from two places. It comes from the fact that the only time Rosh Hashanah is mentioned in Tanakh, just once, in the 24 books, the 929 chapters of Tanakh, the words Rosh Hashanah appear but once in Yechezkel, and it's talking about Yom Kippur. It says it was on Yom Kippur, but Rosh Hashanah, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So you see right away there must be some link between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it's by Yovel. The Torah uses Ta'biru Shofar. Bartzachem, we blow the shofar. Torah doesn't tell us by Rosh Hashanah, our Rosh Hashanah, by the first day of the seventh month, Yom Hazikaron, Yom Trua. The Torah doesn't tell us we blow shofar. That we derive from Yovel. But by Yovel, it's on Yom Kippur. So you see right away that there's the link between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that's probably where the rabbis came up with this idea of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. And then the Haftorah we read on Tzom Gedalia. It's interesting. We don't read this Haftorah on Yom Kippur. It's very funny. Dirshu Hashem b'imatzo karo b'yoto karov. Seek out God where he can be found and call him to him when he's close. And Chazal say these are the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. These are the 10 days. Somehow it's like the Lahavdil. There's a potato growing season. Now it's apple season, right? The fall. We used to go out when our kids were younger. You know, that was a Chol HaMoed Sukkos. You go apple picking. That's everybody who did. Chaldee's farm. And you would see mamish. You could have 55 minyanim if you wanted there. Everybody and their white shirts and then their tzitzis stand out. I told the owners of Chaldee they should build a sukkah. They're out of their minds. Why don't they just build but nunu? Anyway, so there's the apple picking season. So there's the season left when God is a little closer, whatever that means. Okay. I discussed that a little bit on Rosh Hashanah. It's actually quite difficult. I don't know if I mentioned here. It's not for now. And it's not so simple. What does it mean? We're sealed. So when we daven on the 11th of Tishrei, we're davening for next year. It doesn't sound right. I don't believe that's exactly true. But just to raise the question, what do you mean, Rosh Hashanah Yikatevu? It's sealed, or it's written, and that's it. So it's finished. What's going to be? So why are we davening the rest of the year? So we're davening the rest of the year for next year. Doesn't exactly seem to flow. Like when someone is sick, we don't. Anyways, just but the link between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is there, and therefore it's fascinating. So even though we don't say Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofar, except in Yovel, we don't have Yovel anymore. But we might. We're going to be a big challenge soon, because Yovel depends on 50% of the Jewish people living in Israel. So we're now at about 46%. I think that's I read before, every year before Rosh Hashanah, the Israel releases, you know, how many Jews, the population of Israel, I don't know, 9.8 million this year, and how many 200,000 new, you know, grew since last year, and 76% are Jews, and 23% are Muslims, and whatever, 2% are Christians, and 1% is everybody else. So, you know, they put this out every year. So we're, and they estimate that we're about 46%, percent of Jews live in Israel. Once it gets to 50%, have to start talking about Yovel. But anyways, that's Yovel. We say Malchut Zichronot and Shuvah, because obviously it's the same theme of Russia. What's Yovel? Yovel is to recognize I don't even own my land. I only get a 50-year lease on my land. Can't have any slaves. Got to free my slaves. Yovel is the ultimate in the recognition of the Malchut of Hashem, the kingdom of God. And we do that every year in Rosh Hashanah. So we have this, and we end, and we say, Melech HaKol HaAretz, that's the bracha on Yom Kippur, Melech Mavir Hashmoteinu. So we have a little bit of the Malchiyot, this Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri's Malchiyot, where we say, and Rosh Hashanah, we say in Yom Kippur too. So it's interesting, the Amidah starts the same. So I just want to say a few points, and then I want to move on, hopefully, to Vidui. We spoke last year, I took a look at my notes, I can't always guarantee 1,000% I speak exactly what's in my notes, but I took a look. So last year we discussed Kol Nidre and the very strange, etc. Okay, so we said last week that we moved to the second paragraph here. I'll share my screen just to show it. I think it's a little bit easier for a moment. Can you see here? What do we do? Okay, Marif. Okay. I say Marif for Yom Kippur, Marif service Yom Kippur. I had this last year. Last week is the Shachrit for Rosh Hashanah. So we discussed Pachad and Ema have to lead to Yira. From the fear and terror or trembling, we lead to awe of God. And that's because we become one people. Vayasu kulam agudacha, when we're one, then we don't have to fear anything. Then we can have Shimcha Lasot Ratzucha B'Lev Shalem. We come together and then we start the B'chein Ten Kavod Hashem Lamecha. This is the greatest honor to God, as the Jewish people are united. And of course, that's when we can ask God to help us. B'chein Ten Kavod Hashem, we're asking. In other words, it's an honor to God. We're asking God to give honor to the Jewish people. Rav Soloveitchik used to talk all the time. That's one of the things about the state of Israel. Before the state of Israel, it was like embarrassing to be a Jew. We all know nobody wore a kippah before 1948, and even before 1967. Business people didn't wear kippahs. When I was in Yeshiva University in the 80s, in the 1980s, basically, most people went to interview at law firms or for law school, medical school, did not wear kippahs. That was the general accepted view. You want to get a job at a Wall Street law firm, you didn't walk in with your interview with a kippah. I think that wasn't the case in Toronto, as far as I know. I never took on my kippah and whatever, but when I interviewed, but I think that's not the case anymore. That's because of Israel. When we have when the Jewish people are strong, then we have more honor. Of course, our strength is in our unity. And we ended last week pointing out the different references to the Jewish people. Ten kavod Hashem lamecha. Mecha are the average person, the regular person. I was talking yesterday in school. That was the difference between, let's say, Shimshon Raphael Hirsch and the approach in Eastern Europe. Rav Dessler writes about it. Rav Dessler was sort of the Haredi ideologue. He was, I think, in Gateshead for many years, and then he went to the Mashgiach in Ponovich. I don't know exactly when he passed away, probably in the 70s, but I might be mistaken there. But he wrote, of course, the three-volume Michtav Me'Eliyahu, which is a very popular work. It's basically the quote on what we call today the Haredi ideology. He was a thinker, and he distinguishes between the approach of Hirsch and the approach of Eastern Europe, and he thinks his approach is better. Hirsch was interested in making Balabatim. Hirsch was not interested in Talmidei Chachamim. That wasn't the role. Only the elite can become Talmidei Chachamim. Only a very few should learn Gemara. He learned, they had very little Gemara in Hirsch's school in Frankfurt. He was worried, he wanted to build up from Balabatim. And in Eastern Europe, they wanted Rus Gedolei Torah, the elite of the elite. And Rabbi Dessler admits that it comes at a high price, that you're going to lose people, that Rav Hirsch was much more successful at keeping the youth religious, etc. There was much higher dropout rates in Eastern Europe, but it was worth it. It was worth it because we produce Gedolei Torah in Germany, can't. No, I'm not getting into that now, but I'm just pointing out, Amcha, some people focus on the average person and some people focus on the elite. We focus on everybody. Rav Soloveitchik has, that's Atem Nitzavim Ayom Kochem. Roshechem, Shiftechem, Ziknechem, Vishotrechem, Kol Ish Yisrael, Misho Shoev Meimecha, Achote Beit Secher, or the other way. You know, from the leaders to the wood choppers and then the water carriers, everybody is in the same covenant. So here but there are distinctions, obviously. So we ask for Amcha to get Kavod, Tehillah Lirecha, those who earn awe of God. That's a higher thing. Eina Ma'aretz chassid, let's say amcha, maybe we can interpret even the common folk, remember, especially it's where they were not learned, the Rabbi Akiva's before 40, like the majority of Jews, Rabbi Akiva before 40. So they deserve, they're created in the image of God, but they're not God-fearing. They don't have of God, they can't. Einamarz chassid, tilali recha, we give praise to those who fear God. And then we move to Tikva Tova. It's very interesting. Tikva Tova. That's my granddaughter's name and my sister's name. Tikva and Tova. Okay. I can't tell if we're talking birthdays. Tikva Tova. We should have good hope. Good hope. Lidor Shecha. And of course the Israeli national anthem to those who seek God. Hope is what keeps people going, right? Especially when things are not so good. If you don't have hope, life is very sad. So Tikva Tova, those who seek out, there's apparently a difference between those who are in awe of God. You mean awe of God, which could go a little to fear, right? That's, I always translate year as fear. Pachad is, year is awe, pachad is fear. But obviously, yira has that little element. You can go to the side of fear. You don't have to seek God. But those who seek God, Tikva Tova, they have what to hope for, because you seek God, something good will come out of it, right? You have to seek, you have to work. It's the effort that, works. What it says in the Talmud, if somebody says, Yagati, lo yagati v'matzati, I didn't work hard, but I found the path of life. Don't believe him. You can't become great without working hard. Yagati v'lo matzati, but if you say you worked hard and you didn't achieve anything, don't believe him either. When you are yagia, when you work hard, and then the Gemara distinguishes between Torah, etc. But tikva lo tova lidor shecha, those who seek God. And the next one is very interesting. Pitchon pelim yachlin. By the way, I'm making this up on my own. I never thought of this until this year when I started preparing for this year. So again, thank you very much. I never really paid attention. We're really talking about four different groups of people. Of course, four groups who all become one, like the four children at the Pesach later, you know, they're all one. Pitchon pelim yachlin lach. Now pitchon pelim yachlin lach. Pitchon peh. Pitchon peh usually means like an excuse. Like, why did you do that? Pitchon peh. Like, we don't want to give a pitchon peh to the people. Nasa Adam, you know, God, we created. It gives a pitchon peh. It gives somebody the opportunity to say something wrong. Like, pitchon peh is like an excuse. Miyachalim. Miyachelach is higher than Dorshecha. Dorshecha is to seek. How do they translate here? Yeah, yearn. They yearn for you. That's more than to seek. So pitchon peh. So what I think, I don't know what the way I'm understanding why the language pitchon peh. I understand kavod. I understand tehillah, kavod, honor, tehillah, praise, tikva, tova, good hope. What's pitchon peh? It doesn't fit. It's not like a nice thing. Pitchon peh, they can say what they want. Like, they translate confident speech, but I don't think that's really what it means. It's not confident. I mean, pitchon peh, opening of the mouth, the ability to open the mouth. So I don't know. What it might mean is that those who yearn for God and seek God, you know, you may make a mistake. We know that I've mentioned many, many times that the line between the reason idolatry is called Avodah Zarah is because it's very close to Avodah. One can seek to worship God and you make a little mistake, Zar, a little strange, and all of a sudden it's idolatry. It's often a very, very fine line. The Rambam says Avodah Zarah started as a mistake. It started as yearning for God. Enosh, the people wanted to say, oh, well, we don't see God, so we might as well worship his creations. We know God created the sun, so let's worship the sun. It's nice. I mean, we reject that, but you understand logically it's a very beautiful idea. So we're going to worship the sun. And then they forgot all this connection to God, and they saw God in little statues, whatever it was. But the line is very thin. The line is, we know the line between genius and nutcase is very thin. So, pitchon peh l'miyachin l'ach. And often,
Rabbi Jay, may I interrupt? You see, you have here four levels of people. Sar'amcha, re'echa, dorshecha. So the last one is the highest. I believe.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. It's the highest.
Hashem is waiting for their needs. For their words to say, "Pitchon pelam yachalim lach," he helps us to say and to be able to express our needs in that particular day.
Pitchon pel miachlim lach, that those who yearn for God, they will be able to open their mouth. Pitchon pel, talk pel. Oh, it's not open your mouth. Okay, I like that. Very, very nice. Thank you. Pit kon pel, those who sing will find an opening. What I thought is even if they make a mistake, they have a pit kon pel. Like they have an excuse. We were seeking God. We make mistakes. We know that sometimes we know that religious people who are deeply religious sometimes become extreme and sometimes do things that are in the name of God. We know, and it's not just in Islam, you know, that people become deeply religious. And people believe that in the service of God, you can sometimes harm people, do all kinds of things. I don't know. That's what I mean. So anyway, but that is just sort of, that is that higher up, blowing up. I will, now that I came back, I will notice and I'll ask for Mechila. Someone pointed it out to me privately that the Michla Me'elia was full of deep insights into Yom Tov Torah. That is absolutely true. I didn't mean to say it's like a Haredi propaganda book. God forbid, that's not what I meant. But it does reflect, I think it does really reflect the ideology of Gateshead and Ponovich, and there's nothing wrong with that. It may not be, I may not agree with everything other people beseder. But he is very, you know, he does discuss what's the why he rejects, so to speak, German Orthodoxy. That's you can say Elu Velu, whatever you want to say. But okay, so I hope that it's Erev Yom Kippur, you know, I hope that's okay. I didn't mean it as a criticism. I meant it as a description. I think it's partially true. But anyways, okay, let's get back to where I was. Let's go back to the screen, whatever, to Miachlim Lach. But that's the highest level. It's not, you can be a regular person. You can be in awe of God. You can seek God and you can yearn for God, like your whole life is everything you want to do. So that's, you know, that's hard. Then if we do that, simcha li artzecha v'sason li recha. So you move simcha. So it's unbelievable. We started here with pachad. How do we translate it? Trembling more. We translate it as terror. Terror and dread. I think that's how Rav Soloveitchik translated. Pachad and ema. Pachad, and we discussed last week, then you go to Yira, that's a much better awe, that's not to have that dread. And now, when the Jewish people, the four people, we joined the Aguda Achat, and all the four different groups, you know, come to Aguda Achat, Lasot Ratzoncha, each in their own way, there's a tremendous role for the simple pious Jew. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a lesson about that. The simple Jew sometimes has the greatest insights. You know, he doesn't know anything, but that's the backbone of the Jewish people throughout history, has been the simple, dedicated Jew of faith, of simple faith, observant. They didn't know too much, but that's really the strength of the Jewish people. Then you have simcha, then you can have joy. So it's really, I think it's a beautiful a progression from pachad to simcha and sason. We spoke a long time ago. What's the difference between sason and simcha? We won't go into that now. And then, from simcha, we get to smicha, keren, the David of decha. We get to the messianic age. We're going to have the horn of the David, right? Keren really is light, not the horn. Okay. I mean, whatever. We won't go into that. Keren, why the two words are the same. Keren le'David avdecha v'richat ner le'ben Yishai. See, here we use ner. So the interesting news, Keren and ner. Bim hei rabbi amenu. And then, so it's very beautiful. We come together. We get simcha. And we know that only when the Jewish people are together, we get to Yemot HaMashiach, so to speak. And then, u'bechein tzadikim yiru v'yismachu. When this era arrives, and we mentioned, I think, in the beginning, a few weeks ago, some of the commentaries say that this is really the whole brachas for Yemot HaMashiach. It's generally, I think when people daven, they're assuming they're talking about now. We're talking about everybody today. You know, we should pray. We should fear God. We should have awe of God. Then we can have hope, whatever, simcha. But we look at it today, but some first you say, no, the whole thing is really the messianic era. Because until the messianic era, you're not going to have this. People are not going to have pachad. We're not going to have ema. Okay. But here you have, and then ubechein, after sort of the sason and the simcha and the coming together of the Jewish people, the tzaddikim will see, beautiful, yira v'yismachu. And this is also interesting. Yira, we often talk about yira and kavod. You have to be in awe of your parents and honor. Here it's yira and simcha, right? Gilu birada. You have to have joy with awe. that's really the origins of why we have a mechitza. You know, the mechitza originated on Sukkot, the Gemara says, in the Beit HaMikdash when there was lots of simcha. And it's not a coincidence. We go from Yom Kippur to Sukkot. It's not coincidental. Zman simcha, after the, you know, the closeness to God and tshuva and all those other things, we come to Sukkot, Zman simchatenu. So people get carried away. That's exactly the point, where people get carried away. So they were afraid there was too much mingling and socializing. So what the Gemara says, that's why they put in a mechitza in the Beit HaMikdash. Originally, they did not have a mechitza. And they put it because the simcha was without the yira. So it's a b'chein tzadikim yiru v'yismach. Yehi ah and simcha v'yisharim yalosu. So that's even higher. Again, you know, we go from amcha to miyachlim lach. Greater than a tzadik is a yashar. Greater than a tzadik is a yashar. And that's this week's parsha. El emunah ve'en avel tzadik v'yashar hu. God is a tzadik v'yashar, and that's the basis of the very powerful, well-known introduction of the Netziv to Sefer Bereishit. That the Jews, it's terrible to be a tzadik and not to be a yashar. That God can't stand that. A tzadik basically epitomizes our relationship between man and God, and the yashar is our relationship between man and man. And the Sefer Bereishit is Sefer Yashar because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov knew how to get along with people, with all peoples, all types of people, even people who were very different, like Avraham praying for Sodom, the people of Sodom, Ra'im v'chatim l'Hashem ma'od. They're evil and sinners to God very much. That's like not such a nice description. No, it says Noach is an ish tzaddik. Noach's a good guy. Why Rashi brings in some say he's not so great. Noach's a great guy. It says in the Torah, Noach ish tzaddik tamim haya b'Torah. That's pretty amazing. And it says that Anshei Sodom, Ra'im v'chatim l'Hashem ma'od. That's pretty bad. The people in Sodom, Ra'im v'chataim l'Hashem ma'od. Very much, very much. So, and yet Avram prays for them. Amazing. Wow. Wow. We would never do that. I mean, maybe we should, right? We pray for the people in Iran. I mean, you know, that's basically what it is. Basically, you know, and, or in Jenin, or, you know, do we pray for them? I mean, think about it. Think what it means. I don't know what's, are they any worse? Are the Iranians any worse than in Sodom? I don't think so. For sure, not the average person, maybe the leaders, but not the people rallying for the woman who got killed last year and the people want rights in Iran. Believe me, they're much better than the people in Sodom. No, anyway. Okay. I don't want to, but it's an amazing thing. Avram praying for Sodom, they're making treaties with Abimelech, all kinds of things. So that's Sefer Yashar. So God is a tzaddik and a yashar. And then it seems that's his introduction. That was the problem. That the Jews were tzaddikim, they were pious and learned and wow, amazing, but they weren't yesharim. They didn't know how to get along with one another. Ah, they did chesed, the Gemara says. They did lots of kindness. That was to their own group. It's so powerful. It's so true. They did lots of kindness, yeah, to people who were like them. They didn't go kindness beyond their little circle. They give tzedakah to all those little, you know, only within their you've got to get broader. You got to give to, I don't know, you know, everybody understands. It's got to be broader. You can't just be concerned with you. You have to be concerned with everybody. And that's, of course, how we begin Yom Kippur. That's how do we open up Yom Kippur? Al-dara
makom v'adara. Daven with the avaryanim.
Correct. So what, an avaryanim, right? People, no, I want a minyan. I don't want the shkatzim to daven with us. No, as the Gemara says, the ketoret, we've said a number of times, the ketoret, the incense, that's so important on Yom Kippur, the avot of Yom Kippurim, the ketoret, and the Mishnah goes into great detail how the ketoret incense was different on Yom Kippur in all year. That's so important. And the ketoret was a bracha to get wealthy. That's what the Gemara says. And therefore, they never let the same kohen. The ketoret was done every day. It was done, there was a special ketoret on Yom Kippur, offering these 11 spices of incense. And there was, they never let the same kohen do it more than once. Every kohen had to have an opportunity to do it, hopefully once in their life, you know, the thousands of kohanim, you know, to get it once. So, the ketoret had the chalbana, was a lousy smell. It ruined all the yucky. And it says without the chalbana, it's no good. If you don't have poshe Yisrael, that's poshe. Aviti chatati pashati. So hold on. Aviti chatati pashati. An avon is a sin on purpose, if I got this right. A chet is a sin accidental. You made a mistake, accidental. A pesha is the worst. Pesha is the hachi. I don't like pork. but I know you keep kosher and I hate Judaism, and I'm going to take my pork sandwich and my cheeseburger and I'm going to eat it in front of your face because I don't believe in this ritual, holy baloli. That's pasha. That's a sin. That's what we call lahachis. You do it out of spite. So kol, I think pesha is spite, but even if it's only, on purpose, kol some shame bo me poshe Yisrael. If you don't bring in the poshe Yisrael, it's not a fast day. It doesn't count. If you go to a shul and there's no sinners in your shul, I mean, we're all sinners, but you know what I mean? I don't think I mean, you could say it's talking to ourselves. We allow us to pray ourselves. That's one level of interpretation for true. And historically, there's some, although I think this is rejected, it's referring to the Muranos. Like, what exactly does it mean? I believe it comes from the time of the Maram of Rutenberg. But the simple idea, we want sin. When the Talmud says that a fast without Poshe Yisrael is no fast, that's even more powerful than the Aldad HaMakom. So that's very important. That's what we're saying. And we're going to say it in Vayhi Bishurin Melech, Beit Asef Rosh Hayam, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. When is the Melech? Rashi says it on the spot. When is God a king? Beit Asef Rosh Hayam. When the people gather to Asif, Chag Asif. I just thought of this now, right? What's Chag Asif? Chag Asif is the harvest festival, right? Sukkos. It just hit me now. I can't believe this. Thank you. What else is Chag Asif? You gather together all the Jews. The Lulav, the Etrog, the Hadas and the Rabbah. We know all the Midrashim. That Lulav is the unifying holiday. We bring the Etrog without the Arabah is useless, is meaningless. And the Arabah is the Jew, you know, the famous Midrashim has no actions, no Torah. But so we think of it as two separate mitzvahs. There's Sukkos and the Arba meaning, but of course they go together. So Chag Asif is not just the gathering in of the harvest. It's the gathering in of all Jews. Chag Asif, you gather together, when the heads of the people and the people, it's interesting. Why does it say, and again, I'm just thinking of this now. Why say Beit Asif Rosh Hayam? Why does it say Beit Asif Am? When the nation gathers together, because I think we all see this. It's much harder for the leaders to come together than the people. If the people in Israel were running the figuring out how to solve our judiciary in 5 minutes, they could solve the problem. 80% of Israelis could reach an agreement on our judiciary in 10 minutes. It's the 20%. It's the 10% extremists on each side, 90% of whom are in the Knesset. So it's a big problem. So it's, but the Rosh Hayam leaders are usually much more, are harif, the people, you know, get along, but it's the leaders who often set these extreme policies. They want to separate. So I think that's what I mean. B'taseif Rosh Hayam. If the heads of the people can come together, obviously the people are going to come together. So this is Malchut. This is what we say. This is how we begin the davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Of course, then we begin Kol Nidre with the same idea. So I think it's just have to read the words. It's right there. Right there. So it's just, let me just finish off, and then we'll maybe have time for the Yud Gimel Midot. I hope. Well, yeah, we will. Okay. V'chein tzadikim. So it's, again, we're going up. Who's, you have Amcha, you have Dorshecha, you have, the Miyachalim Lach, right? Amcha, Yerecha, Dorshecha, Miyachalim Lach, and then you have the tzadikim. And greater than the tzaddikim are the yesharim. The yesharim, yalozu is a higher term than simcha. See, they translate in English and just exalt with joyous song. That's more than, I don't know, jubilant. I don't know exactly which has a higher term. But I think the idea, we do know tzaddik v'yasharhu. The tzaddik is basic. Yeshar is more important. And then it's interesting. It's not our chasidim, of course, but it works. V'chasidim berina yagilu. The chassidim, a chassid in rabbinic literature generally means a person who does lifnim mishurat hadin. When Rav Yossi or whoever it was says, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is praising his five students. So he says, I think it's Rav Yossi was a chassid. So the Mefarshim explained, the commentary explained, a chassid means doing beyond the call of duty, being more than you have to. It means very pious. Of course, the Hasidim of the 18th century, that's a whole different idea, but it's with joy. The Hasidim berina yagilu, volata tikvats pia. And we'll have no longer injustice in the world. Tikvats pia. Before we had pitchon peh, We have the opening of the mouth for those who pray to God. And here, the mouth is closed for injustice. Tikvot, we lo tikvot, such as by staka, don't close your hand. V'chol arisha kulak ha-shantik la-kita v'rim shalat adon min ha-aretz, right? And all the evil will go away like the smoke. Like, you know, the smoke just clears away. And this is a process, and only then, and then God can be our king. Bar Tzion Mishkan Kivodecha, in Zion, the Jewish people can come together. Mishkan Kivodecha, your honor and glory, Ubi Yerushalayim, Yer Kodshecha, Kakilu Rei Kodshecha, Yimloch Hashem, Lolam Elohai Tzion Lador Vador, and then God will be our king forever and ever. Lolam Elohai Tzion Lador Vador, generation, hallelujah. Then we end. Vayikva Hashem Tzvot Mishpat, Amalach HaKadosh. So that you see, one of course is building on another. And this is Rosh Hashanah. This is Yom Kippur. All four tefillot of Rosh Hashanah and all five tefillot of Yom Kippur, we say this. Okay. Yocheved, you have a question. I see.
Yeruv Yismachu, isn't the basic pshat that they will see and be happy as a
Yeruv Yismachu. Ooh. So you mean I got it totally wrong. It could very well be.
It's a nice drush, but I think it would
right.
be
Yeruv Yismachu. I think you're right. That was my mistake. It would have two yuds. Okay. Thank you for that correction. I still think what I said is correct. It just may not be exactly what the Machzor are saying. Thank you for that. Yeah. Yeruv Yismachu. Right. Why did I think it's here? Okay. Yeah. Yerecha. But then the tzaddikim will see. But we do have this concept, gilu birada. It really is true. It may not be right here in the Machzor, that simcha. That's probably why I made the mistake. That simcha, gila, and yira, in the terms of yirat Hashem, awe of God, and simcha do go together. We do have that concept. That's it. Simcha, ivdu at Hashem b'simcha v'gilu birada, with fear and trembling. We worship with joy. But we have to temper, because we get too carried away when we do our joy. Okay, that's
The first paragraph of Chintein Pachtecha, you have the Yira Ucha.
Yeah, for sure is the year of awe. Yeah, that's without a doubt. I was just made the, yeah. So I just assumed that this year was also awe, which it could be. It could be, but I should look if any of the Mefarshim do explain it this year, but I agree, Yocheved, thank you. The simple shot here, and that's why it's only one yud, to see. But that's the problem when the English is my mother tongue and Hebrew is, you know, just learned in day school. Okay. What can I tell you? All right. Let's move to Yom Kippur itself a little bit, some of the uniqueness of Yom Kippur. So we already discussed, it fits in so beautifully, HaMelech HaKadosh, and now the whole thing, all the Jews coming together, and that's what we just said, Al Dar HaMakom V'Adal HaKal Hinen Mativim Li'Pelelim Ma'arinim. We give permission. In other words, it's interesting. We welcome the sinners, but we also need permission. There is an idea, that's what some point out. The Ketoret had 11 spices. One of the spices was the sinning spice, so to speak. You want a minion. There is an idea. Get a minion, quote unquote, of Yesharim, whatever, Shomer Shabbos, then the rest of the shul. I think, listen, I've said it before. You've heard me say it. It's a tragedy that we no longer have the 3 day a year Jew. We have it a little bit, but not so much. I was in the bank yesterday. So the teller, I had a, whatever. I know sometimes you have to go to a teller even in today's world. So the woman says to me, we're in a very Jewish neighborhood, but she's not Jewish. So she said to me, are you getting ready for the holidays? Ready for the holidays? I said, yeah, Monday, you know, holiday. I said, would you like to fast? So she said, nah, really? I said, you know, for 25 hours, you know, no food or drink. Said, you can't drink it. No drink either. I said, yeah. She said, wow, that must be really hard. I said, you know, it's okay. You get used to it. And you spend the whole day in synagogue, you know, almost the whole day in synagogue. And I said, you know, and it's the one day that, and, you know, she said, you had 2 days last week. I said, yeah, that's when we blow the shofar. You know, I explained that whole in the bank. They were doing this in the bank. So there wasn't a long line behind this. There were other tellers. So she, I said to her, you know, a lot of Jews, they only go to synagogue like 3 days or Yom Kippur. It's the only day they're going to synagogue. You know, like thousands of people who normally don't go. She says, yeah, like in the church, you know, we go just on, you know, over Easter, you know, whatever. Like, okay, it's true. There is, but it's sad. The cars aren't parked the same way. I went for a walk at the shul. I told you last week, the cars used to be all the way on the street. There were cars, Tova, on Yeomans. There were cars on Yeomans, but there were no cars on Dorchester and no cars on Almore, whatever, the streets in our neighborhood. But it's sad. We that is where Lubavitch is great. That is their strength. Yes.
Yeah. So my son is in the Bahamas for Yontif.
It's better in the Bahamas, no?
Well, that's exactly what you're describing. They have the 3 day Jews there. His brother-in-law is a chazan. That's why he went. So he davens to the Amid, and Lubavitch Sharov makes a huge deal about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because it's the only 3 days they come to shul. So,
right, of course, that's
still have it down there.
The problem is the worst 3 days of the year to go to shul. If you're going 3 days a year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, if you want to encourage them to come back to shul, don't send them on Yom Kippur. Send them on Purim. Send them on Simchas Torah. Send them on a Friday night. Send them for Shalashudis. Don't say you're out of your mind. You're going to send somebody to shul. I mean, and I tell them, of course, I understand. On the other hand, obviously, it's a very important days. I get it, but it's really the worst days of the year to go to shul, which is why I guess the first one was Effie Buchwald, Rabbi Riskin, the beginner service. You know, they did that every Shabbos. And when I was rabbi of a shul here in Toronto for 9 years, a small shul, we had, you know, we'd get 100 people on Shabbos and 300 people on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So 200 of those people, like, you know, would had the machzor upside down and inside out. And they were, you know, they go to shul because, you know, their grandparents, their parents, because that's what a Jew does. So I did like the model they do in other places. It started in Lincoln Square, but now it's all Eish HaTorah all over the place. I would give classes. I gave class the first, you don't have to give a class in Shacharit because they're not there, but by laning. So I gave one class by laning and one in Chazaret Hashas, 45 minutes each. So I remember the first year I did, I said, I can't believe I missed Unatana Tokev. Like, wow. Like, cause you know, the Unatana Tokev, like the whole world will go crazy. Unatana Tokev. But we know it's not really so important. It's a piyut added later on. It's did I ever tell you? I don't know if I ever told you the famous line Rav Yisrael Salanter had, such a beautiful line. Again, I don't know if it's true, but it could be true. It probably is true. They asked Rav Yisrael Salanter when Rosh Hashanah was on a Thursday, Friday, like it will be next year. Get ready for, you know, all of our 3 day yontifs. So they, at Friday noon, it's not like today they do shul in 4 hours. You know, when I went to shul, we started at 8 and we ended at 2 o'clock without a break. You know, today, 4 hours, you know, the people aren't into whatever, chazanim, long davening. So they want to get home at 3 o'clock, whatever. So they want to prepare for Shabbos. So they don't want the davening so long. So they asked Rabbi Sosalan, what can we cut out? What can we cut out? So he said, you can cut out Unatana Tokev. Not so, you know, so later, but you can't cut out. Why can't you cut that out? I daven shacharit, the second day Rosh Hashanah. Believe me, that's important. The chazan needs that break to catch his way. It's such a beautiful idea. You can cut out a ton of tokev, but you can't cut out. Unbelievable. So that's it. So you learn. It's a Jews are coming to shul. They're bored out of their mind. So they won't say the ton of tokev. Big deal. But hopefully they'll learn something. So we whatever. I think it's very important. Kiruv, Kiruv Kerovim, Kiruv Rechokim, all these things. But people are bored in shul. I teach in Chad, you know, all the time. Most of the kids do go to shul. Most of the kids, it's the only time of year they go to shul. And I tell them, take Jonathan Sachs's Machzor, take a book, I'll buy it for you, you know, and read it in shul. Don't sit there bored out of your mind. Or read the gun, do something. But that's a problem. They come to shul Yom Kippur. I want to get the hell out of here as fast as I can. Like I get it. Like it's sad, but it's true. The davening on Yom Kippur is beautiful. It's such beautiful. But like everything, you know, if you don't practice, like if you send me to the opera, I'd go out of my mind. I have no appreciation for opera. So that, you, because I daven all year, and believe me, like, you know, it's not like every year I daven. I say words of prayer every day. I'm not sure I daven every day. I say words of prayer every day. But hopefully, because I do that, I'm certain times a year I can be inspired. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's going to be inspiring. You know, Rev Lichtenstein wrote, I sometimes, Baruch Hashem, I do feel that Yom Kippur ends, I don't want to look at the paper. I don't want to turn on the news. Like, let's stay in that Yom Kippur spirit. And, Rav Lichtenstein quoted that the Rav in Boston, he was like on a high for like 5 hours, like the whole night after Yom Kippur. I don't even think he ate right away. He was like in a spiritual high. And, but you can only do that if you go to shul 365 days a year. And, you can only do that if you pray. It's poetry. Our tilot are poetry, and poetry you have to work hard to understand. That's the whole Torah is like that. But anyways, okay. That's Baruch Hashem Levach. Okay, I see it's getting late. We have 15-20 minutes left. So let's do a little bit. Oh, I just want to mention a beautiful thought along this line. So you've heard me say many, many times. I say it every year because I love the story. Aser Tumei Tshuva, my kid in chat, who I said, what's Tshuva? She said, it's an answer, the 10 days of answering. And what's the question? Right. And so the question is Ayeka. I mean, the first question to her, Ayeka, where are you? God's question to Adam and Eve. And where are you? That's a Aser Tumei Tshuva. That's a Aser Tumei Tshuva. Figure out, where are we? What are we doing with our life? So I mentioned this story when I gave my shiur, like in Shul Durcham, where I davened before me on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So somebody's there, Jerry Greenberg, those in Toronto might would know who he is. So he comes over to me after shiur. I said, he said, what's the second question in Torah? So it turns out it's not the second question in Torah. So I had to think for a minute, but I can ask you, what's the second question in Torah? Okay.
Says, should I cover up what I'm doing?
I'm sorry?
Hashem says, should I cover up what I'm doing?
No. I'm sorry?
Cain and Hevel.
So that's before that. Because he goes to the Nachash. What did you do? He goes to Chava. What did you write? I forgot those questions. But he said, it doesn't matter that it's not the second question in Torah. It's the fourth question in Torah. Ayei Hevel Achicha. God says, so he said to me, if during a Aser Tumei Tshuva, we have to worry, Ayeka, where are you? Where are we in our relationship with God? The rest of the year, we have to worry, Ayei Hevel Achicha. I thought that was so beautiful. I told him, that's so beautiful. The rest of the year, Ayei Hevel, where is your brother? And that's kind of like we say, I also say this every year. It's certain things you have to say every year. It's more important what we do between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah than between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is nice, but got to worry more between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Of course, that's a lot harder. But anyways, okay, let's talk a little bit on the Yud Gimel Midot. Okay, what are the Yud Gimel Midot all about? There's a lot to discuss. So let's pull it up and let's take a look at what the Gemara says. The Yud Gimel Midot, of course, are the 13 attributes of God. We don't really do all the 13 attributes because part of the 13 attributes of God is a zealous God. That we don't do. The Gemara says we're to imitate the 13 attributes. Mahu rachum afata rachum. The same way God is merciful, you should be merciful. Same way God is kind, you be kind. We don't say the same way God punishes, we should punish. Knows that God's not forgetful or whatever. We even split the way, the truth of others, we're not going to do this now, of course, but there is a debate. How do you count the 13 midot? Like anything in Judaism, of course, we can't agree on anything. We have to disagree within a unit, Elu v'Elu, within the confines of Elu v'Elu, disagreement is wonderful. It's when it gets into fighting, machloket, between people, that's when it's awful. But to disagree, that's beautiful because the Torah wants that, because the Torah is ambiguous. The Torah demands itself to be interpreted in multiple ways, often which contradict each other. So just like we don't know what the 613 mitzvot are, that's a slightly different thing. We don't know, there's no agreed upon list of 13 mitzvot, but the way we say it almost makes no sense. By the way, I can't stand how they sing it in America. You do it in a minor key. We do it in a major key. We do Hashem Hashem El Rachum V'Chanun Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Yemet Notzer. In America, they do Hashem Hashem Rachum V'Chanun Erech Apayim. I don't know. I don't want to scum, but I think our tune is much nicer. Da 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 da. Yum bum. It's a much more upbeat tune. Anyway, so we go. No say Chesed La Alafin. No say Yavon V'Fe. God cleans our sins. It's not what it says. It says, in other words, God doesn't. It's both. The way even we split it is very strange because look in the Chumash, it says, so you want to put a pause. So maybe it means both. Okay, that's what we're saying. There's a nake, but there's both. Obviously, we're going to split it. at Vinakei, but it's the middle of the pasuk, like, which we're normally not allowed to do. You're normally not allowed to split psukim into half. But anyway, so we don't copy all Yud Gimel Midah, but the Yud Gimel Midah were given by God, of course, to Moshe Rabbeinu in the aftermath of Kedega, which of course is what Yom Kippur is. I mean, we have Yom Kippur because of the sin of the golden calf. That's how the whole thing began, right? And then it turns into other forgiveness for other sin, but it's that's what it is. So it's the Kedega, which is okay. So that's what we say. And, we're supposed to, the Gemara in Sota and the Gemara in Shabbat, which we've quoted on another occasion, said that we have to copy God the same way God is charitable. We're charitable, et cetera, et cetera. But now let's take a look on this specific Yom Kippur. I imagine some people have seen this Gemara before. Let's go. Where are we here? Okay, and God passed over Moshe. It says in the aftermath of the Chedek Vayikra, there's a debate who called. Was it Moshe or God? We're not getting into that debate now. And the Torah, of course, is ambiguous. Whenever the Torah does this, it's doing it on purpose. You understand. The Torah's telling us, when the Torah says in a way that's unclear, so because they want us to read the verse in different ways. So anyways, Vayivor Shema Panav Vayikra. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Il Malei Mikra Katuv. I was just, if not for the verse had been written, Eiv Shalomro. This is a beautiful expression. I have to read the article. I was reminded last night that somebody once sent me an article. Moshe Halbertal has a whole article. I think 9 times in Shas, this expression appears. If not for the fact that the verse may be written, you couldn't say it. And he goes, of course, you could. There are other ways to say it, but anyway, it's heresy. That's basically what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. This verse, God forbid you can say it. Melamed, what does this verse teach? That God passed by Moshe, by Avor Hashem al Panav. Right? That's how he's reading it. Milameid, it teaches, Sheni Tatefa Kadesh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. God wrapped himself in a talit. That's the idea. The chazan wraps himself. Kishliach Tzibur, like he's leading the davening. Ve'erlo le Moshe. And he said to Moshe, Moshe, this is how you daven. Amarlo, kozman yeshis rochotim. Whenever Jews sin, and that's of course all the time, kozman, we're always, kozman, no. Whenever Jews sin, yasu lefanai kisei derzeh. You should do this Hashem Hashem Arachum, and I'll forgive them. Magic. And then the Gemara, Hashem Hashem, Ashani who kodem sheyecht adam, ani lachar sheyecht adam. A beautiful idea. I'm the Lord before you sin, but I'm also the Lord after you sin. Because after you sin, there is distance. Sin creates distance between man and God. That's how the Rambam beautifully describes it in chapter 7 in Hilchot Teshuva. Emesh, before he was meruchak, distant from God. And today he's close. Even after we sin, that's why it's twice. Hashem, Hashem, 2 times. Hashem is our God before we sin and after we sin. But yes, that tshuva, okay, we have to do tshuva. I mean, that's really sin when we get close to God. But even after we sin, El Rachum Bechanun, merciful and gracious. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Rikrutal Lishloshes Remidot Sheinam Chazrot Rekam. A covenant was made with these 13 attributes that they do not, you don't return empty handed. We read on every fast day, except on Yom Kippur, which is so funny that we don't read this. We read Vayachal, God's forgiving the Jewish people every fast day. Except Yom Kippur, except the time when it happened. It's very interesting, right? We read Achrei Mod in the morning, and we read the Arayot, which is, we discussed last year, the Arayot, the sexual sins in the afternoon. It's almost strange. I mean, it is strange, but why this chapter, which Mamish is the story, maybe we don't want to mention it. Maybe we want to avoid it. But anyways, so God makes a covenant. But what's important, of course, to point out, and we don't believe what you believe, you say a few words and God guarantee. It's a guarantee. It's a covenant. Brit Kruta. God made a covenant with these 13 midot. Einam chazrot rekam. Einam chazrot rekam, by the way, is not the exact same thing that God forgives us totally. God, yes, ani mochela means we have no sin left. I forgive them. Einam chazrot rekam means they're not empty. It means, a partial forgiveness. So Rabbi Yehuda is not saying the exact same thing, but he's saying there's a guarantee, there's a covenant from God that you won't come back empty-handed, that say these 13 midot. But of course, he doesn't say to say these 13 midot. Kozman Shisrael Ya'asu Lefanai, Kaseh Derzeh. That's the key word. They should do before me, not say. Mumbling words is meaningless if it doesn't lead to action. That's what I said. I say the words of prayer every day. I'm not sure I pray every day. Prayer's gotta motivate you. It's got a word. It's a voter's belief. If it's saying words, that's Rav Soloveitchik's also a famous piece. There's the Masa Mitzvah, the Kiyuma Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is not to say words. The Mitzvah is to worship God. Avodah Shabalev. We do that through saying words. But okay, we have to do it. Everybody knows Tefillah is a really, really hard mitzvah. It's very hard to daven, of course. But okay, we do the best we can. That's why we have this. That's why I give this class, so I can learn how to do better. Yasu lefanai. So the key is that you have to do the 13 midot, not saying yasu lefanai. I mean, michanun, barachum, erech apayim, rav chesed, emet. That's what a Jew has to do, kind and forgiving and truthful, etc. Now, by the way, you have a very similar Gemara. Also by Chedek. This is a Gemara in Brachot. Vata anichali, right? That's when Moshe is arguing with God. So God has enough with him. You know, Moshe had a lot of chutzpah. Abraham had a lot of chutzpah. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdishev had a lot of chutzpah. Jews have chutzpah. And we're allowed. We're obligated to have chutzpah to God. We demand. So the fame, Klal Yisrael can make demands of God. The individual has to beseech and plead. But Klal Yisrael, we can demand. We can be chutzpahdik. It's okay. We tell God, listen, God, you know, after the Holocaust, we still do mitzvot. We're amazing. God, like, enough already. You know, that's the classic Jewish tradition. So, of course, we learn it. Abraham is the first one. You know, the chutzpah, like you think about the chutzpah that Abraham said to God, he himself realized it. He says, oh my God, I'm dust and ashes. How in the world did I have the chutzpah to say what I did? But he had the chutzpah, because that's what Jews do. You have to have it. So, of course, picked up by Moshe. So God gets angry at Moshe. He says, Vata hanichali. Moshe, anap already. Like Beth Hanan, we have it. Anap. I heard you already. I don't want to hear anymore. You have to know how far you can go. Sometimes the boss says, that's it. Game over. Vayicharapi, anger. Get anger. Vachalem, I'm going to destroy. They did idol worship 40 days after the revelation, 7 weeks after I took them out of Egypt. All the miracles, they did idol worship. Of course, I'm going to wipe them out. You're a great guy, Moshe. I'm going to make you a great nation. Moshe didn't buy it, of course. Moshe didn't go for it. And God, no, I don't buy your plan. I'm a Rabavau. And this is by Chet Egel. You realize this is also Chet Egel, of course. If the verse would not have been written, EF Sharlo Omro would be forbidden to say it. This is amazing. This is even more. This Gemara thing's a little less famous. Moshe grabbed God by the shirt. Tafso Moshe, he grabbed him. By leave me alone. Hanicha leave. Let go. Let go. What do you mean let go? You only have to let go if you're holding on to something. I mean, you don't really have to explain it this way. You understand. That's the beauty of the drush. You don't have to say it later, but he's interpreting. That's it. Hanicha li, let go. This is heresy. Moshe grabbed God by the shirt. Ka'adam shehu tofes et chaveiro bebigdo. Like when you grab your friend, you know, by the shirt, you know. Master of the world, ain't anima. God, I'm not letting you go. I'm sorry. No, you cannot leave. Unbelievable, right? This God, you are not. I will not let you go, as if Moshe had the power to do that. Until now, you understand wherever. So you. This is absolute heresy. You cannot say this. You cannot say it except it says so in the Torah. So if the Torah says it, I can say it. I'm just repeating what the Torah said. And I think what Moshe Halbertal's article is, that's not really true. You can really interpret the pasuk without saying this radical anthropomorphism of Moshe holding on to God. But anyways, so these are the ideas that we say, the Yom Kippur Midah, which of course is the basic theme of the Yom Kippur Davening. I mean, that's what it's all about. Can anybody tell me? I don't know if I mentioned last year, all our shuls, of course, I'd like to know if anybody has it differently. We only say slichus in Ne'ilah and in Mariv and Ne'ilah. We don't say Slichot in Shachrit, Musaf, and Mincha. So Rav Soloveitchik was very upset with that. He said it's based on a printing error. And in Maimonides in Boston, they did it. And I know of a few rabbis who have instituted in their shul, the Slichot to say Kel, El Malcho Sheva Kisurachim Slichot. The reason apparently when the Machzorim were printed, so you want to save space. It's not like today. Today, Art Scroll and Korn, they print 5,000 pages. They print everyone. Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos gets its own machzor. I don't know. When I grew up, Pesach, Sukkot, and Sukkot was in one machzor and one sitter. It was in the same sitter as our Shabbat. It was Shabbos. Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Have Oshanas in the back. And when I grew up, the Birnbaum machzor was Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Now, the Rosh Hashanah machzor, 11,000 pages, you know. And, here I have my, Slichot book that J.J. Schechter just put out, 1,100 pages on Slichot. No, no, because they reprint the same thing 58 times. But because everything's so cheap today, it's nicer, it's more convenient, whatever. Whether it's a good idea, I'm not so sure. Okay, whatever. Maybe it is a good idea. But they didn't used to do that. So they would put in like Vayabor, they put in Bechule, and the idea was you'd go back and say it. So nobody said it. It wasn't printed in the Machzor. So nobody said Slichos. So 99% of our, do any of your shuls say Slichos at Shachrit, Mincha, Mus? No, that's, they don't do it. And it would be very hard for rabbi. I know a couple of rabbis who have introduced it. They've said it always in my mind. And of course,
the Yekis say it. I mean, Nusser Frankfurt was, they said it in all of the tefillos. As a matter of fact, they used to publish a list of which slichos they would say each year, depending how long the day was. In other words, it was.
You don't have to say so many. I think they would only say two or three. It wouldn't take that an extra 5 minutes each tefillah. But thank you, Rabbi Alman. The Yekis do everything right, and when it comes to nusach tefillah, go to Frankfurt and Hamburg, then you'll see nusach tefillah. That's real Ashkenaz. You're right, correct. So the Rav knew, what can you do? That's what our shuls do. But really, Yom Kippur is all about the Yud Gimel Midot, and it should be said in all five of Tfilot. I'm not going to say it. What can I do? My shul doesn't say it. What am I going to do? I don't know of any shul in Toronto that says it. I'm sure the Beit doesn't say it either. I don't know of any shul that does it here. I wonder if in the Kollel they do it, in the Lakewood Kollel. I don't know. I have no idea. But, anyways, okay. But that's what Yom Kippur is all about. Yom Kippur is not about saying the Yud Gimel Midot, it's about doing the Yud Gimel Midot. That's our task. And to do between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Okay, please God, we'll pick up next week. Of course, next week we'll talk, I imagine we'll talk a little bit on Sukkot. Just a reminder, thank you. I mean, I see you didn't really need the reminder, but the change to 9:15 is more or less, I don't know, anything is permanent, but for now, I'll assume it could be at 9:15. Just so thank you. The weeks are getting earlier anyway. So I guess that's good. I think we're still at 7 o'clock this week for the last week. We're at the Western time zone. So we're still davening. I think tonight it's 7, but by Friday night on Sukkot, we're not going to be davening at 7 anymore. It'll be 2. Okay, let's just very, very quickly review. We went through the various people who come together, the Amcha, the Yerecha, the Dorshecha, Miyachlim Lach. We're going up. The Amcha. We're very into Amcha. They're the backbone of the Jewish people. They're not the elite. They're not super learned. Okay, that's okay. So they don't have this deep appreciation. They don't know philosophy. Not everybody has to read Halachic Man and has to study Aristotle and the Rambam. It's okay. The Seder, you can be a very fine, upstanding Jew. Be Amcha. Be a nice, pious Jew. It may not work. It wouldn't work for me personally. You know, like a simple faith, no questions. If it works for people, beautiful. But there is, anyways, there's Amcha, Yerecha, Dorshecha, Miyachim, people who yearn for God, and we're going up. Sadikim, Yesharim, Yashar, our relations between man and man. The Yashar is more important than that. So they can, this is, as we do this, this is how we're Mamlich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is how we coronate God, and this will lead to Simcha. We will see the Simcha, and we will rejoice. The Hasidim will rejoice. God will be our King. The Messianic era will arrive, and that's B'Tasef Rosh Hayam, when the leaders. It's one to bring the Am together is not always easy, but it's a lot easier than bringing the Rosh Hayam together. And then we discussed a little bit. Therefore, that's why the idea of all coming together. of course, on the Ktoret in the Beit HaMikdash, the Ktoret, and all Jews have to come, and Hakel, I didn't mention before, everybody comes, men, women, and Shulim, of course, that's how Yom Kippur. We welcome the sinners, even a fast day without sinners, poshim, real serious sinners, that's not a fast day, that's not, the Jewish community has to reach out, and we mentioned before, we have to do, I think, I'm talking to myself, all of us, a better job at reaching out to people, encouraging them, people who we wouldn't normally encourage. It's very easy, you know, all your friends, and et cetera, et cetera. But then we come to Yom Kippur, the key is the Yud Gimel Midot, yes, that's how God forgave us for Chet Egel. He showed Moshe was tough, he bargained tough, he held on to God, he wrestled with him. And but yet, of course, it's not that we say words, it's that we do the actions, and that's the only way, if we Yasuk Lefanai, like this. And then Yom Kippur can be, up time to discuss it, the happiest day of the year, as the Yom Kippur is a fantastic day, reconciliation, improvement, forgiveness, examining ourselves, doing better, getting closer to people. There's so many things. Yeah, it's not so easy to fast, but we have the ninth, but really it's, Yom Kippur is the happiest day of the year. Okay, let me very quickly take questions before I got to run. All humans are the interest of Hashem. Absolutely. Okay. Right. Amuna Pshuta, the Yamcha, right? The Amuna Pshuta works for many people. It's very wonderful, but it's not for everybody. It wasn't for the Rambam. It wasn't for lots of people. It wasn't for Rav Soloveitchik. It wasn't, but for the, you know, when I remember when I was in Israel in the Grist Kollel, so Rabbi, Aaron Rakefet, I'm sure many of you know of Rabbi Rakefet. So he was teaching also at Michlala at the time. And he would say he developed this whole course on questions of Emunah. He said, you know, and the way he phrased it, like for a nice base Yaakov girl who has no questions, everything is, you know, beautiful, wonderful. You don't want to even raise these questions because it can shake their faith. But for other people who grew up in the modern world, live differently, their faith will be shaken if you don't raise these questions. So certain people need to take an extreme example, need to discuss biblical criticism. Because without biblical criticism, they were avoiding it, Judaism, the biblical criticism, we're afraid of them. Some people need to address it. And without addressing it, they won't have their faith. And, I know this, and other people you address, are you crazy? You're going to expose them to this? What are you out of your mind? So you have to know it's not simple. There is an Emuna Pshuta, but the Emuna Pshuta is not for everybody. That's why we have, we always talk about various types of people, all children, Jews and not all humans, of course, Jews and non-Jews created the image of God. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Rabbi Karofkin said, even he will read a sefer instead of all the piyutim if he can't keep his kavana. Yeah. There you go. Or study. I said we should do for slichas for sure. We should do this. I don't know exactly on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur. Well, whatever it does on Tisha B'Av, nobody says all the kinnot anymore. That's the old generation. Nobody knows. I don't think any shul today. I mean, I'm sure there's some. They take 8 kinnot. They take 15, 20 minutes of kinnot, and that's kinnot. It's much more powerful, much more beautiful. They go line by, and the kinnot are beautiful, beautiful. You understand them. The mumble kinnot meaning this. But mumble slichas is right. Okay, Beth Avram in Bergenfield for sure, of course, because Rabbi Neuberger, from Toronto, of course, was a student of Rav Soloveitchik. So yeah, so those, and he started the shul, there was nobody in the shul. Like, if you come to an established shul, it's very hard to change. When you're the rabbi from day one at the shul, I think that's Rabbi Neuberger, then you can change. So yeah, I'm glad to hear. So Rabbi Beth Avram in Bergenfield says the slicha, somebody said to me privately, absolutely. Musaf and Mincha will focus on they said it. This year they'll sit on Shakir. Okay. Didn't Jacob say he would hold the angel? Yeah, he didn't want. Okay. That's one thing to hold an angel, whatever. It's another thing to hold God. But yes, also, that's another thing. Yes, Jacob. Okay. I want to wish everybody Gemar Chatima Tova Saturday night. Rabbi Liebtag, 10 p.m. We'll send out an email. And then Tuesday morning, of course, Dr. Sokolow gave such a beautiful shiur last night on Hazino. We'll continue with the Haftarah Tuesday, 10 o'clock. Everybody should have a meaningful fast. We should do the Yud Gimel Midot. And we look forward to seeing you next week and all good things. God should hear our prayers for all good things to be a wonderful year of peace and happiness and harmony and shalom, and Gemar Chatima Tov, everybody. Okay. He was not the
main. Thank you. Gemar Chatima Tov, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Toda Rabbah.
Toda, thank you very much, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Gemar Chatima Tov.
Thank you.
Gemar Chatima
Tov. Be well. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom, Shana Tova, Gmar Chatima Tova.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.